It's a loud clap. I don't know how to start this episode.
I don't know. I'm just so happy to see you.
By the way, the last time I saw you in person was 4 years ago?
3-4 years ago.
Four, babe.
It was 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. To be honest, my mind after COVID is just...
So it was pre-COVID.
It was pre-COVID?
Yeah, the last time I saw you was pre-COVID. Wow.
I was a different person.
Wasn't it?
Pre-COVID. Was it pre-COVID?
Was it? When did you move to Dubai?
2017. No, I think I saw you 2021. 2022.
Okay, so 3 years ago.
3 years ago. I remember because I had a horrible time in 2021. And I saw you in a cafe.
We did. I think we went to Filamanki.
Yes, and we talked about our auras.
Did
remember?
We?
Yes.
I don't do this anymore.
Why not?
I don't talk about it. It's just I talk about it differently now. But okay, let's start about how this started. I posted a story.
Yeah.
About watching Fatayat
Madrasat Rawabi.
Madrasat Banat.
What? Rawabi lil Banat, صح?
What's it called?
Madrasat Rawabi lil Banat.
Okay, yeah. So anyway, Rawabi School for Girls in English. So I posted a story about watching that because I swore that I would not watch it, season two.
Yeah.
Because season one left us on a cliffhanger, and then season two, I knew that they weren't going to have the same cast. So I was like, they're just going to disappoint me. I don't even want to get into it. And then a lot of people were telling me it's cringe, but it's worth it in the end. Anyway, so I gave in.
Yeah.
And I posted a story that I was watching it, and I got... I'm not even joking, thousands of DMs of either people. it's very split down where a lot of people were like, no, I couldn't stand it.
Yeah.
Or a lot of people were saying
it's so good once you get past the script.
It's super cringy. Yeah. And but we're not the target audience, mind you. We're not, right?
True.
So, but then the ending is worth it. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this. And I binged it in one night. The ending destroyed me. So I'm not going to any.
Wait, so it was worth watching بالآخر. At the end? Yes and no?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I have multiple... We'll get into it, but I have reasons for that. But anyway, so then you messaged me.
Yes. I don't even remember what I said.
You just said it's based on an actual school.
Yes, بعمان.
Yes.
Yeah.
So then we started... You and I went to high school together for a limited period of time.
Yes.
And I've known you since I think we were 14 or something.
14, yeah.
14.
14.
Yeah. I've known you since we were 13, 14, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
So a very long time, 15 years.
Go on, we're 29 now.
Going on 16 years. Yeah. We both just turned 29.
Yes.
So we said we'd sit and just discuss. So when you DM'd me and we were talking about that, we both, and we remembered we went to high school together for a little bit of time. We just kind of talked about how high school and bullying and the topics that were involved in the Musalsa, the show.
Yeah.
And then I told you, you know what? Let's just get into the studio.
Let's just talk about high school.
Let's.
And just that time, the tweens.
The tweens.
And okay, I have this vivid memory of you. Every time I put perfume on, I think of Layla. And why? Because high school wasn't, like, for me, Marah High School, 14, 15 till 18.
Yeah.
It wasn't the best time. It's just I had, like, very bad self-confidence and self-esteem and self-worth and all of that. And the one thing that would keep me going was whenever I went to the hallway, you would be there, you would run and hug me, and then you'd be like, oh, you smell so good every time, and then you would go. Like, khalas, you just come, you smell good, and then you leave. Like, you have to throw in a compliment in there, and then you just left.
Stop.
And at an age where getting compliments wasn't really a thing for me, that sentence meant so much. And to this day, whenever I put a perfume on, I'm like, if Layla was here, she'd be like, you smell so nice.
Babe, what? I had no... I'm actually, like, tearing up. I had no idea.
God. When, like, I think... I hate this term, you know, the duff? The designated ugly fat friend.
I was going to bring this up, but I wasn't going to call it the duff.
I hate that term. It's horrible, but unfortunately, that's how I was perceived in high school. And so getting that from you... was just, it always meant so much to me. As small as, like, you smell nice, I still remember it to this day, like, what, 60, how old are we?
29, so like 16 years, kind
later.
Of, 16, for 15 years later.
But yeah.
I had no idea. Thank you for sharing that. That's,
you're welcome.
I will say one thing before we get into the duff part. I think... and I think souls recognize souls. Mm. And I think... I had a very tough time in high school. Very tough time. Yeah. We'll get into it. But I had skipped a grade and I was fluent in three languages. And that, for some reason, was a main point of bullying. And I will also add that my body matured at a very young age. So that also adds the male side of bullying.
Yeah.
So I think maybe people who are going through lack of confidence moments, I think I just recognized... You were kind of like my twin sister in that time. Because you and a few other girls, I knew other girls that were struggling in certain areas. And I think you just recognize each other.
You do.
You don't have to say it out loud.
No.
But you recognize these things in each other. So I'll just say that. And I will add, if we're going to get into the Duff thing. Do you think, this is going to sound a little odd, but bear with me.
Yeah.
Do you think you... designated yourself a Duff, or do you think other people designated?
No, other people did. I had no idea I was a Duff.
Did someone tell you?
Someone told me to my face.
A guy?
Yes.
Told you to your face?
Multiple. Are you kidding me? Multiple. They would always come up to me and say, oh, you know, we're only friends with you because of this and this and that. And like, it's so sad that you look the way you look because, oh, you're so funny. And I'm like, oh, that's so nice of you. Why would you say that? And that's how I got to know.
Old were you when this happened?
I was 13, 14. And you know when someone points out something and then you start seeing it everywhere?
Yes.
That's what, I had no idea I was that until someone said that to me. And then I started noticing with the way people talk to me, I'm like, oh my God, it's because they think XYZ. And it gave me such a horrible victim mentality.
I can imagine.
Growing up, I was like, oh, they just don't like me because I'm like, blah, blah, blah. So I felt like I had to overcompensate by being funny or by being really outgoing or by being really friendly. And now we're paying the price. But
did it affect your relationship with your friends that they were, quote unquote, using you to get close to?
With the guys?
Did it affect your friendship with those girls? Because you're saying, so Duff is, I think we should clarify what you said it already.
Oh, so it's like the designated ugly fat friend.
I can't even say that because that's not what I see you as at all. Not even close. Not even, I don't even want to get into.
It just makes me, compliments make me really uncomfortable.
Off camera, yeah. I'll tell you how wonderful you are because I'm not even going to go into that you are absolutely not that.
It's.
Absolutely not. I don't even see it. Boys are cruel. And when I say boys here, I'm saying specifically young boys.
Young boys.
But I'm not just talking about boys. Young girls are vicious.
Mm.
But young boys can be cruel and young girls can be vicious. Yeah. I don't even see you as a Duff. But what I'm saying is because it's designated ugly fat friend and then they used you to get closer to your prettier friends. Did that affect your relationship with said prettier friends?
As much as I tried, it didn't. Because I knew that my friend didn't see me that way. And she was like, it's so unfair. Yes.
Yeah, of course.
But at the time, I didn't think she or they saw me that way. Because the way they would support me, I had the female friendship that I wanted. So seeking validation from boys wasn't something that I was looking for. Because I knew I wasn't going to get it anyway. But... of course, I was a teenager. Of course, it would affect me. It would hurt me. Like this guy that I liked, and I thought he liked me as well. And then later, he was like, "Oh, can you do you think you can introduce me to your friend?" And I was like, "Sure." But I think growing up later, it just made me. It turned me into an insufferable people's pleaser.
Okay. So just to clarify, you had that happen by the boys. Did you have any issues with girls? Were you ever bullied by girls?
I mean, yeah, but it wasn't. I wouldn't.
It
say
didn't
it
affect
was,
you as much.
It
as
didn't
the
affect
Duff.
Me as much as the
that
the that yeah. But I think you said it one time in an episode where girls can be just as mean. I'm all for like, listen, I'm a girl's girl to the day I die, but. There were certain aspects of betrayal, I wouldn't say bullying, that really got to me with my female friendships that I am learning at 29 now to not let it affect me or not let it, I don't know, just shape how I view friendships.
So I was literally here yesterday with my dad filming an episode and we filmed an entire episode strictly about the subject of betrayal. And we went deep into betrayal. And I'll tell you one thing, and it's interesting now you're saying, I understand the girl's girl until the day I die, and we'll talk about it. But because I'm not a girl's girl and I'm not a guy's girl. I am a...
Person. A humanity...
Mm. In favor of humanity person. And this can be discussed in many different ways. So, but I'm in the truth. I'm for truth. I'm for truth until the day I die. So just because you're a girl, it doesn't mean I'll stand by you till the day I die. Because we need to not get it twisted. Just because you're a girl, you don't have my best interest at heart. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I'm a truth until the day I die. Like I'm ride or die for the truth, basically, if that makes sense. Bismillah. Yeah, so you're saying you're a girl's girl and they didn't bully you, but there was betrayal. So I'll tell you one thing. Betrayal is 10 times worse than bullying. Actually, not just 10 times. It's unforgivable. So my dad and I were talking yesterday, and I don't want to get too much into it because it'll come out in a different episode. But long story short, society is built on loyalty and trust. It is, if you think about it, especially back in the day when it came to tribes and villages. If men were to go hunt or go to war, and they'd leave just certain men behind to take care of the women, because women back then and still till today need a lot of protection, especially during times of war and stress like that. How could you leave a tribe behind? There's trust. You trust that the men going are going to fight for you. You trust that the women staying are going to do their job. You trust that the community is going to do what it needs to do to take care of each other. And that's why throughout history, throughout the world, the punishment for betrayal was always the most severe.
Yeah.
So the reason you struggled, you might get over the duff way faster than the betrayal.
Yeah.
Because betrayal involves a deep sense of loyalty and trust.
And then it cuts deeper.
Whoever said duff has no loyalty to you. They don't owe you anything. But your friend who comforted you, who made you feel that you could be safe around her, she owes you something. And so that's why betrayal is 10 times worse.
Betrayal, like, it's something I think about every single day. Like, that person, whatever they did to me.
You think about it every day?
I think about them every single day. It's just because...
Oh, baby girl.
It's so difficult. Like, Layla, I gave, 25 years? 26 years of my life just being so completely loyal to this person and just full trust. And then one day... It all came crashing down because I realized they were never
a good friend.
A good friend to begin with.
Yeah.
And it's just every now and then when I say every day, I'm exaggerating a
That's
little
fine.
Bit. But it's just
verbally, I understand.
It's just certain times I'm like, this is the person I grew up with. Like this is the person I knew who I am with. Like this is it's like I have to rebuild myself now away from that person. And it's unfortunate that I depend a lot on people around me. This is something that I'm still trying to learn to do, to be an independent person of myself. Like the way I perceive things or the way I react to things doesn't have to revolve around my surroundings. Mm. And I'm trying to be my own person. But growing up, 27 years of my life with that person in it, and then suddenly overnight they're gone. Every now and then I'm like, should I message them? Should I just rekindle things? Maybe it was different. Maybe they're changed now. And then I catch myself being like, no, stop.
Yeah.
You need to be your own person. You need to be your own self. You owe yourself that much of respect and love for yourself to not get back with this person, whether it's a friend or whatever, a spouse or I don't know.
I really appreciate you saying that, because yesterday I was telling my father, I said, you know, there's this saying of if they did it to that person, why wouldn't they do it to you? Like, for example, if you see someone betray their friend, don't trust them, because why wouldn't they do that to you? I don't view it that way per se. That is true, but I take it even a step further. I'll see how a person treats themselves. So to me, if I see, for example, in this case, that you're being so weak that you're going back to someone who betrayed you, I wouldn't want to befriend or trust you, because to me it's, if you can't love yourself, how are you gonna love me? If you can't be loyal to yourself, how are you gonna be loyal to me? Do you get what I'm saying? So that to me is very, it's very interesting. I usually look at how people speak to themselves, how people talk to themselves, how much they invest in themselves. Because if you treat yourself like trash, you treat everyone around you like trash. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So no, don't reach out to that person.
I'm not going to reach out. Every day I'm just like, should I? And then it's this internal monologue in my head being like, do you really want to go back to being that person? It was 26 years ago that was just so concerned with what that person was thinking or saying, or like, are they angry with me? Are they mad with me? And it's just this toxic relationship that it was horrible. It was eating me alive. And I am so grateful to this day that they did what they did, that betrayal happened. I'm convinced there was a blessing in disguise.
Of course.
Because if that never happened, I would have still been in that.
Of course.
Entanglement.
Entanglement.
Entanglement. I don't know what that was.
Yeah. No, 1,000%. I agree. I will add one thing. I think you know this. I kind of never liked that person. I think you know this.
I do. Many people did it.
I know. I never did. I always had a little bit of a feeling. And I will say one thing. They absolutely took advantage of you. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Babe.
I mean, it took me a while, but now I see it. Yeah. 100%.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if you want to, can I say something honestly? And we'll go back to the bullying. Because bullying can come in different forms. I don't have to, this is something I always tell people, I don't have to call you an idiot to make you feel like an idiot.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So some people will take everything at face value. I didn't insult you, but you did. You know what I mean? Yeah. So she didn't have to necessarily bully you in the sense of call you a duff or call you ugly or push you against the wall or beat on you. But there are other ways to bully people.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Taking advantage of someone's weakness or of someone's kindness, that is a form of bullying.
Yeah.
So that you were definitely on the inflicting end of that.
It's true.
Or and inflicted. You get what I'm saying?
I get it. But people say, oh, you know, it's high school, it's a long time ago. That was like, no, babe.
So we talked about this. You said you're still learning to get over things that happened to you in high school. And I told you, surprisingly, I only started truly getting over what happened to me in high school in the past year or so. Not in the sense that I was a victim and crying about it and whatever. I thought I was completely moved on and I was fine. But then there were certain things that I kind of had to sit with myself and reevaluate. And it's only this year that I really, really started to get over it, because I mentioned Bana in almost every podcast, but Bana Al-Alami, she's a really good friend of mine and she's a life coach now. And she asked me once about my 5 core values. And she said, you have to, when you're in bed, when you're about to go to sleep, go over your 5 core values, and you need to ask yourself if throughout that day you abided by your 5 core values. And I recognized that self-worth wasn't one of my core values. So if God was one of my core values, family, whatever, I made sure that all of these were covered throughout the day. I prayed my 5 prayers. I made sure my family was taken care of. But I asart bihaqi in certain areas.
Oh.
And then that's a betrayal to myself. So when self-worth, I made it a point to make it one of my core values, my life changed completely. Because so my bullying was a little different. I skipped a grade.
Yeah.
And I was the youngest person to go to our high school. The youngest.
I remember.
Yep. Yep. Because you came a year after.
Yes.
You came my second year there. Yeah. It's because we're the same age, but I was a grade higher. And like I said, my body matured quite early. So the boys were vicious. And I would go home and cry to my father. And he'd be like, Habibi, they like you. Disclaimer. If a boy bullies you because he likes you, it's not a good thing. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. But at that age, at the age of 13, 14, you know, girls are stupid and boys are stupid.
Yeah.
So obviously, years later, those boys came back like, I'm sorry, I really did like you. And that's a whole
thing.
They
apologized to you?
Yeah.
I never got that.
You know the girlies that didn't like me in high school or bullied? Guess who's sliding in my DMs now for favors? Who a few months ago when I was in Jordan and I saw them and I was willing to go up and say hi and they acted like they didn't see me. Same people are in my DMs now like, oh my God, Layla, I'm so proud of you. You're doing amazing. Are you based in Dubai? Are you ever coming to Jordan? Let's hang out.
Whoa. Not surprised, but.
No, not surprised. It's just, it's interesting. I saw it coming. Like, I knew this would happen, you know? Because it's just part of life. But so I was bullied by the boys. And the boys were horrible. They were, I will say that. But I will admit one thing now that I'm older and I'm reflecting back on it. The girls fueled the boys.
Really?
Mm. Yeah. The girls were vicious with what they used to say and do. And my dad taught me something at a very young age, but it only ever hit me in my 20s. Especially when I started to genuinely be a seeker of truth, if you want to say, you know, and I started focusing on my purpose in life. He taught me something at a very young age, and I think it's really important that people learn this. He said, "An-nasu bayna thnain, bayna hasidin wa shamitin," which means people are between two, between those who envy, and shamit is basically those who will kick you when you're down.
Yeah.
And he told me, "Ihmadi rabbik," thank your God every day, in hum hasidin wa shamitin, that they envy you and it's not they're kicking you when you're down. Because
yeah.
you skipped a grade, you speak three languages, you think they can use a gift against you? It's just that they wish they were you. And it's interesting, now I look back, especially at how I am now, and I'm like, that's true. They have goals and dreams that they aspire to reach, and they're just unable to. So they'll try to use a gift and a blessing that you have against you.
That's so true. Wow, I never thought, what? I'm experiencing real life. But it's just, I remember what you went through in high school. I really do, to this day.
Habibi, who doesn't
and it
remember?
Was, and it was... It was just, what the hell was that?
It was, sorry, I bumped into your foot. Okay. It was, I will say one thing, it's not for the weak of mind.
Yeah.
I went, at 14, I went through something horrible. And not to get into too much details, but a lot of lies were told, a lot of throwing under the bus, a lot of saving your own skin.
Yeah.
And because I was, for lack of a better word, just a... I don't know if it's lone wolf or black sheep. Everyone had their clique and group. Never.
Yeah.
I was just friends with whoever I was friends with.
You were friends with just like, not everyone, but like you got along with everyone, but you didn't have
a your clique. Circle. No, never. No. And I've never been a cliquey kind of girl. It's just never been my thing. So then when it came to the house was on fire, I was the one left to burn.
Yeah.
And if I'm being really honest, best thing that's ever happened to me.
Really?
Best thing that's ever happened to me.
It's always the worst thing that happened that you're like, it's actually the best thing that's ever happened.
So here's the thing. If Layla says it, oh, she's still young. She needs to learn and experience things. But now a neuroscientist has come out and it's been scientifically proven that the only way to happiness is through... I don't know why I said happiness that way. The only way to happiness is through trauma.
Yeah.
So Khalil Gibran said this in his poems. Rumi said this in his poems. I regurgitated this in my videos, but no.
You need the pressure. You need the uncomfortable environment.
Of course.
To get out, to grow.
Absolutely. But that was the best thing that ever happened to me, by far. By
how was it after? Like?
I personally didn't care, which is very interesting. My father didn't care. He's not the type to really... whip you and berate you for making a mistake. He's very much the this is what you did wrong and I will treat you accordingly and we will move forward from there, but treat you accordingly in the sense of I'm not going to imprison you, but I will, you will be disciplined and we will grow. So he's always thinking of the way ahead, right? Which was very, very helpful. And then I moved to Dubai to finish 10th grade with him, and then I went back to Jordan, and it was the best thing that ever happened to me, I'm not gonna lie. Getting away from that environment and those people was absolutely necessary and needed. And I pity those people, most of them, if I'm being honest. A few of them went on to do beautiful things with their lives. Absolutely, and I'm still in touch with them. And I've bumped into a few of them and had the most marvelous encounter. And a lot of them, it'll be too soon if I never see them again.
Yeah.
And I'm... Honestly. And I'm very okay not seeing them again. And I'm very okay not having a relationship with them. And it's not that I hate them. I honestly, truly, I say this from the bottom of my heart. I'm incapable of hate, but I'm very capable of indifference.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
So it's indifferent to me. You live, you die. I genuinely don't care. I wish you the best, but very, very far away from me. That being said, I also know you will never really amount to much growing up, because that kind of nafs, that kind of nafsiyah, because there's a fine line between... they're young and they don't know what they're doing. There is a lot of that. There's a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's a certain level of viciousness that once we reach and go above...
there's no going back.
There's no going back. Your soul is tainted.
Absolutely.
To be that... إِنَّ كَيْدُهُنَّ عَظِيمٌ. I'll just say that.
See, for me, I would run a lot into these people all the time. If I go... not because I choose to. It's... just the environment I'm in.
Babe, I haven't bumped into any of them.
No, see, when I go, not here.
I know, I get
here,
what you're saying.
Here, I have, like, here, I'm like...
I never did. Never.
There.
Since I was 14 and I left, I never did.
Recently, I found myself in a situation where I ran into most of them. And it was, it's like I went back to being 14 like that.
Did you feel even I your felt, behavior?
I was like, why am I acting like this? I'm not this person anymore.
Okay.
I was 28 at the time. I'm 28 last year. I was 28. Like, why am I acting like I'm 14 again? I felt so, later I felt like this big in front of these people. And something about them felt like they haven't changed. They're the exact same people, even though they weren't doing anything bad to me at that moment. It still felt like I was that like girl in high school that was trying so hard to prove herself to everyone.
Ooh.
And I was just like, why am I my palms are sweaty, knees weak, arm spaghetti, what's it called? Like, literally, I felt like that. I was like, why am I feeling this way? I'm not. And then I would try to break from that character. It's like someone forced me to play my 14-year-old character again.
Okay, wait. Because you said, this is important, everything you said. You just said when you saw them recently and you saw your behavior change as if you were 14 again and you asked yourself, wait, why am I behaving this way? So you clocked yourself in the moment.
Instantly.
Okay, but that, babe, that's progress. Really good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the times things will happen and because we're kind of unconsciously moving around, it's when you go home or maybe a day later, you're like, wait, what just happened?
Yeah.
But the fact that you clocked it in the moment is really good because you can, as much as you can...
Try to go back.
You know, settle.
Settle that, breathe. Like calm down. Yes. And then the social anxiety started hitting.
Mm.
And then I was like, oh my God, I need to go home. I need to get out. And I was like, no, you're going to stay and you're going to show them that you're not, that they don't have that effect on you anymore.
Babe, you know, it's really funny. This is just a side note, but I'm watching you say this right now and I'm listening to you. But all the while, my brain is thinking this is a fever dream because I have never bumped into any of them. Mm. And here's the thing, I'll be really honest with you. If I do, it would not faze me. I would not break a sweat. I really genuinely don't care. But it's subhanAllah, I have never bumped into any of them.
So Allah's ever. Protecting you.
Allah,
if you've seen what you've done for others.
You know, my dad used to tell me always when I was younger, he was like, لو تعرف الجيش اللي وراكي. And it used to, I used to love every time he'd say it because basically he was saying you have an army of angels behind you and don't forget it. And I, every experience I've ever been through has been a reconfirmation of that. It's insane. But you're right about those people being, you know what it is? Because you said it's not that they were doing anything in the moment, but you felt as if it was the same thing. Because energy doesn't lie. Yeah. I've really learned this. Energy doesn't lie. You have, when your gut feeling says something, it doesn't come out of nowhere. That's literally...
Listen. Mm. And I was like, I'm going to get myself out of the situation. But for now, I just need to deal with this. I need to stop with this victim mentality that I used to have. Like, I just wanted people to feel sorry for me. I'm so like, oh, I had such a bad...
You're on the right podcast.
You know, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so... I cannot stand a victim mentality. This is an argument I constantly have within the household, in the family. Like, enough with this victim mentality. Absolutely. If you treat yourself like the victim, you will be the victim.
You will be the victim forever. And I will preface this by saying... I am talking about small traumas up to the biggest and worst of traumas. Because a lot of people throw those extremes about, what about abuse or someone who, you know? And I say it regardless. Because there are proven cases of people from the smallest traumas to the biggest that chose to use their trauma as fuel to do better and be better and rise above it. Mm. And they're thriving. So this is victim mentality from all traumas. Not to say it won't affect you. And the journey can be hard for the healing journey.
Of course.
But anything worth it is hard.
Honestly, I think there's this difference between being an actual victim and having victim mentality.
But even if you were an actual victim of something, because you were the victim of malicious words and ugly feelings. Do you get what I'm saying? And it might be a smaller victim than, let's say, physical abuse.
Yeah.
Fine. But both need to be healed. Your time could be shorter. Their time could be longer. And by the way, their time could be shorter than yours. You might be weaker and take longer, to get over that. Doesn't matter. There is a healing journey. But it's possible is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, because I'm a very avid believer in you can... If you don't learn to control your mind in this world, it's just a waste. Because like you said, it's been 29 years and you're still healing from that. Do you want to spend the next 29 years of your life doing that? Like, do you want the next 29 years to be, oh, poor Marah the Duff? No, you don't. I know you don't.
Of course.
You know what I mean? So now who can do that? Me? No, you.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same saying of you can take the camel to the water, but you can't force it to drink. Wallahi. So I'll even say a lot of the DMs that I get, and like, honestly, thousands, alhamdulillah, of thank you so much. You have no idea how much I wanted to hear that. You saved my life. I get back to the ones that I can get back to. And I always start by saying thank you for taking the time to send this, because there are people that took time out of their day to leave horrible comments or bully or call you a duff. And then there's someone who took a few minutes out of their day to send something so sweet that they thought most likely I wouldn't see, right? So I start by thanking them for taking the time to send it, to send that, sorry. And then if they say something along the lines of you saved my life, or I really needed this, or you helped me do this, I'll always say I did nothing. It was you. Because I could have said the most perfect thing and you chose to refuse to accept it. You refuse to acknowledge it. You throw it aside. You criticize it. You insult it. You itkabbari alay, whatever it is, right? Then I am the same.
Exactly.
Whether you hated it, whether you loved it, whether you took part of it, took nothing of it, nothing in my stance or wording changed. But if you chose to take it and do something beautiful with it, that's entirely on you. Do you get what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So with you in the next 29 years of your life, it has nothing to do with me or your mom or your dad or the said friend or anyone. It's entirely you. Entirely.
Yeah.
You know? So I will add one thing. I'll ask you actually before I add one thing. So because we talked about betrayal. Do you know how to get over betrayal?
Well, if you asked me that a year ago, I'd be like, no, I have no idea. Okay. It's just, it lingers. It's this feeling that lingers, that doesn't go away. Okay. You can forget about it. I mean, it's like a scar that you had.
Okay.
It heals, but it's there.
Okay.
You know, but now I look at it, I'm like, listen, this is an experience that had to happen. It happened. It's in the past. Done. There's a future ahead. And I'm not going to say like, oh, I don't think about it now at all. But I don't care about the trial, babe.
I keep bumping into this table. I'm so sorry.
But it's now something that I'm learning that, okay, they did this to me. They must have had a reason to do this to me. Like you said, I could be a villain in someone's story. Yeah, and
absolutely.
Right? They must have had a reason to do this. They did this for them. Okay, great. I'm sorry that this had to happen. Thank you, and I hope you just continue with whatever life you have. Yeah. It's like, you know, when parallel lines and then they just go separate. Done. Of course, I'm left with the memories and stuff. This is not something I'm going to pretend that, like, I don't care about. But it's just now I'm finding, it's like I had this tractor on my chest with all these people that I felt like wronged me or something, and I don't know. Maybe it's like my frontal lobe finally just developed.
But no, babe, that's not.
I was suddenly like, you know what? It happened. Khalas. Thanks. And it's just, I feel like I can breathe.
You're reminding me of a C.S. Lewis quote, and I think it was,
oh my God, I love C.S. Lewis.
Me too. I hope I don't butcher this. But he said something along the lines of, sometimes you will find that it is necessary to let go of things simply for the reason that they are heavy. It's just that simple.
Literally.
It's just that simple. Sometimes, and I've heard this a lot, of people associate caring with giving something its weight or its value, but that's a very easy way to trick your mind into remaining into a victim mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you will absolutely find that it is necessary to just let it go because it's heavy. And heavy means it's off balance. It doesn't belong where it is, because you should never be in a state of heaviness or in a state where you're constantly carrying a weight on your soul.
Yeah.
It's an unnatural state, and you need to let that go.
It genuinely reminds me of this thing where they said, if you just keep holding this for like 10 minutes now, it's going to be fine. But then the next half an hour, my arm is going to kill me.
Yeah.
It's the same weight. It didn't change.
Yeah.
But I'm like, ugh, yamma. So just.
Yeah, done. For sure. So
how do you deal with, how would you deal with betrayal though? Or do you feel like you know how to deal with it?
Absolutely. I've been betrayed way too many times. And before anyone says I'm playing victim, absolutely not. I fully take responsibility for it, because I know my soul attracted it for all the reasons that have brought me here today. So I was talking to my dad about this yesterday, but I will say it again because I think it's really important, mm-hmm. and I'll say it until the day I die. I learned to truly forgive betrayal in multiple steps. So how I started forgiving betrayal, or getting over betrayal rather, was step one, I apologized to the person who betrayed me, not in person, but between me and myself, mm-hmm. which is very interesting. My dad started by sit with yourself and apologize to them. And I was so resistant of that when I first heard it.
Why would I do that?
But yeah. Anytime, and this is also something that I've learned from him, when I see myself facing resistance internally, I always sit with myself and ask myself why, because that's not a good thing, right? You mm-hmm. have to evaluate why. So when I felt that resistance, I was like, he's on to something. Let me give it a try. So I was sitting Beni Ben Hali, and I was like, okay, I need to get over betrayal. So the way I got over betrayal was I started by apologizing between myself to the people who betrayed me. So I sat with myself and I envisioned them standing in front of me, and I apologized. And in the moment, I had an epiphany, and I said, I'm sorry for being the test you failed. So that's how it started. Mm-hmm. And then after I truly apologized for being the test they failed, and I meant it from the bottom of my soul, what came after, which was a very natural extension, was I thanked them for being the test I passed. I thanked mm-hmm. them for making me stronger. I thanked them for allowing me to understand human behavior better, because the more you experience something, the more you learn it, the better mm-hmm. you get at spotting it, at seeing it coming, you know? And then I just let it go. And then I had a moment and I sat with myself and God, and I really said, thank you. Because if it weren't for all of these experiences, I wouldn't be as strong as I am today. I wouldn't be as willful as I am today, as disciplined as I am today, as knowledgeable as I am today, mm-hmm. as wise as I am today. And I just really, really from the bottom of my heart thanked him. And then just realizing that there'll never be anything or anywhere close to where I am. It's just closure you need.
It's a nice little
it might sound a little egotistical, but facts are facts, regardless of my feelings or theirs, you know.
Yeah.
And if there's anyone I've ever wronged, because we all wrong people, and I'm really over this
never done anything.
We all relate to being bullied or abused or victimized, but no one relates to being inflicting, right? Yeah. I'm sure I've wronged people. I'm sure, because I've been stupid. I've been not in control of my emotions and unable to regulate my emotions. Especially as a teenager, I was wild. And I'm sure I've hurt people along the way. And believe me, I've gotten my karma for it. And even that I am grateful for.
Yeah, because it taught you.
Very much.
Absolutely. Like, that's what I meant, like, in high school, when I say it was a long time ago, and, like, all these words that were thrown at the way I look or how I talk or what I like. Like, me in high school, all I did was watch Lord of the Rings in the library. I still do that. But it kept me to myself. But because I was alienated in the way that I was, I am forever grateful, because it made me grow up.
Yeah.
It made me realize, like, I know how to talk to people. Put me in a room with anyone
and I will
chat with anyone. I do not care, and I will
actually
read.
Not only will you manage, you thrive. I agree.
You know, like, it's because I was taught to be in an environment that's programmed to not like you because of the way society is. You know what I mean? It's just they are programmed to not give you the chance that they would give to someone who's easier to like.
Okay.
It was a bit more difficult, but because I had that difficulty, I feel like now it's given me the skills and the strength to continue. And I mean, it took a while for me to realize this. It took me a while to be like, why was I treated like this? But now I'm like, thank God I was treated that way.
Absolutely.
Thank God they said this and this and that to me. Thank God that it made me realize that person wasn't a really good person in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, maybe what, I was 25 years too late, but at least I got there.
Yeah.
And I do not care if people say it's too late. It's not. It was meant to be the time that was meant to be.
There are people in their 40s and 50s still struggling to let things go, still affected by what they went through in high school. So better late than never in this case, absolutely.
But go back to the society thing. You wanted to say something. I could see it. I could see the thought.
My eyes are expressive. The society thing is interesting because we grew up in a very specific society. And every society has its issues. So I'm not going to diss on ours, and every society has its greatness. Mm-hmm. So there's also a lot of things that I would give credit to. You know what I mean? That being said, it's very interesting to me that the ones who are the ones with the bell of shame to try to abide by what society set as acceptable and unacceptable, especially in Jordan, were the ones who were the most hypocritical. I will say that. It was very interesting to see the ones who were the most, the quickest to judge, the quickest to put out a rumor, the quickest to be to abide by cancel culture, like, you know, we're gonna ostracize this person from our circle. They were the ones who were the most hypocritical, the weakest, the stuck in a victim mentality. And now looking back, it's so funny. It's they're made of a house of cards. I could have just done, and they would have crumbled. Honestly,
yeah, that's so true. And they're still there, by the way. They're still. I'm not kidding. They're still there. When I went. I was like, oh my God, are you serious? You're still in that shell.
Even when I go, I don't bump into anyone. That's so interesting.
God, I mean, I'm a little petty in a way that I want to see where
Do you go where they are?
I don't know. I don't go with like, I'm seeking them. But if I do run into someone, I'm like, so this is how life's treated you. Okay. And then I just...
Life, can I tell you something? I used to think that, and maybe in part it could be true. This is such a street mustalah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in al-Arab, we have the saying, is ahlak ma rabbuk shara' bi rabbik. So I used to always hear this growing up, like, if you don't learn right from wrong at home, the streets will teach you right from wrong. Okay, that's all fine and dandy. But now when you just said, so this is how life... Like, this is what life's done for you. I've really realized, because you know how we just said, Abla Shway, that a certain level of viciousness, there's no coming back from? I've really, really learned, and watch this the next time you see a few people who you know their soul is rotten. The insides start to show on the outside. I have seen it, and it's terrifying.
It really is.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what you try to cover, the surface, it will show.
Yeah.
It will show, and it's... I don't know. I feel like I do sound a bit hypocritical as well when I say like, oh, I want to see how what happened to them and stuff. And then when I'm in the moment with them, I instantly like just feel like a crumble little 14-year-old.
Okay, I understand. You know what you're
saying. You know what I mean? But I'm still trying to, like, the marih now is trying to come out from the 14-year-old shell that just like appears. How can I describe this? Have you played Mario Kart?
I think so.
You know when there's like a protective shell over the...
Yeah. And then,
I feel like the shell just appears. That like as if that 14-year-old Marih is trying to protect the Marih, the 29-year-old Marih now. Because the 14-year-old Marih has already been hurt. Has already seen everything. So she's like trying to get out. But in that way, she's just suffocating me. You know what I mean? It sounds so weird. I
understand what you're saying. I actually really do understand what you're saying. So it's very interesting. For a little while, I thought 14-year-old Layla was dead. I'm like, she's dead, buried, gone. I don't relate to how she behaved that way, how she allowed certain things to transpire. For a little while, I was like that. And then you know the saying of you need to be the person your 14-year-old self needed? Yeah. I am 1,000 and a million bajillion percent now the person I needed when I was 14.
Yeah.
Fully. So as much as I tried to be that for a while, it didn't happen. Now I really am. And I think, if I'm being honest, that was the only way I healed my 14-year-old self. Because if I ever want to look back on that time or think about it, I know that it is an impossibility for me to ever feel that weak again.
Yeah.
An impossibility.
So this is where I'm trying to be, basically. Because when I'm in that situation and I see the shell of the 14-year-old Marah trying to protect the 29-year-old Marah, I want to tell her, like, no, now's my turn to protect you, girl. Like, step aside. But this is what I'm still learning and I'm still trying. And I can see myself breaking that shell a little bit and telling 14-year-old Marah, like, no, it's fine. Like, I'm here. I'll protect you. We're ready to do this. It's okay. I just want you to enjoy this.
Yeah.
Now,
hard times, they will come. Yeah. So even this little 14, 29-year-old Marah dispute that you're going through, which is very admirable, I have to add, I always say this because obviously I talk about breaking the chains of victimhood mm. of, you know, be a seeker of truth and it's not validating every feeling and emotion. And I always say, I forgot what I wanted to say.
14-year-old. I'll go back to what I said.
I was saying, yeah. No, I was...
It's yeah, like that be. Michael Scott scene in The Office. I'll say something and I don't know.
I've never seen The Office.
It's okay. I respect it. It's fine.
I wanted to say something.
It's like the victim mentality that you were saying.
Yeah, but I was saying this struggle that you're having.
The struggle I'm having with the 29-year-old. It's admirable.
It is admirable. And then yeah. That's, apparently that's all I want to say.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. But you know, there's a... I don't know how do you perceive music though? Because for me, music is very healing.
Absolutely. Music is frequencies and it affects yeah. your vibration entirely.
There's this one song called Letter to My 13-Year-Old Self by, her name is Lofi. Lofi?
Yeah. Lofi.
Lofi. Laufy. Fey or something.
Okay.
The letter she's talking about to her 13-year-old self. And I understand. She starts it with, don't you worry about your curly hair. And this is something that, when I heard that, I was like, oh my God, is this for me? Because I have curly hair. I have very curly hair.
You do have very curly
but
hair.
Growing up, I was like, man, kushe, lehik. And everyone, I would only get compliments if my hair is straight. So it just became a psychological within me that I will only look nice if my hair is straight. And then I heard that line, don't you worry about your curly hair and clothes that don't quite fit you anywhere. And she was just like, I wish I can go back in time and give her a squeeze, myself at 13, and just let her know that she's beautiful. And I was like, this is it. This song, I felt like the minute I heard it, something in me just,
yeah.
And this, I think growing up now, because I'm more able to discover what I like and what I don't like, music has been so healing to me. And
music is very healing. It's very, music can be extremely destructive and it can be very healing. It's a whole thing. There are studies on this.
Do you find yourself like, I want this specific kind of song to describe this
yeah,
specific
course.
Kind of situation?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like she's all wise and stuff.
Music is a big part of me personally, my life. I love music very, very much. My mom is a phenomenal singer. She plays three instruments. I've played the piano my entire life. My sister is a beautiful singer. My brother is really talented when it comes to music. And then there's my father, who's tone deaf.
But
he used to love rock and roll. He's a big fan of the opera.
Yeah.
Rock and roll when he was younger. He could never listen to that now. But I grew up listening to opera. I relate to music in a very... very specific way. I love music. I do.
Right. But it's just with the pop culture we grew up with as well in high school. It was just so... Some of the things I'm seeing now, I'm like, how did we...
Don't get me started.
How did we take that in?
Don't get me started.
As like kids.
Don't get me started. It's a whole... Please don't get me started on pop culture.
Don't
get me started.
Like, I was looking at... You know, 13 Reasons Why? It came out 10 years ago, exactly.
Has it been 10 years?
It's been 10 years. And I remember watching this in the library in the university with a bunch of girls. We're like from Scotland, Ghana, like everywhere around the world. And everyone could relate to the girl, Hannah, on the show in some form of like the bullying and just like how the boys treated her
how
and stuff.
How a rumor starts
mm-hmm. and how it just escalates and it just... like this avalanche of lies
yeah.
that start coming down. And it was so triggering.
I have
a
PhD in that.
Like that show was so triggering. And yeah. it's just, I remember like we genuinely had to recover, like to sit down for a couple of days and just talk to each other. Because
is it weird that I don't feel that way when I watch these things?
Oh my God.
Like 13 Reasons Why at Awabi School for Girls, I appreciate them for what they are, but they don't trigger me.
Really? I think for 13 Reasons Why, it's because it was the first time that a show like that came out. And it was the first of its kind that to show like a really vulnerable high school experience through the girl's perspective. And I mean, the whole story is kind of messed up, to be fair. Like,
it's very intense.
And like towards the end, it was just like, whoa, what is going on?
Yeah.
But I think this is what I'm telling you when I mean like I'm constantly affected by my surroundings.
Yeah.
Even the things I consume. as but this TV is a, and
But babe,
music.
This is very purposefully done. Everything we consume is made to either make us or break us. This is very purposefully done. And this is why I'm a huge advocate of living your life with intention. Mm-hmm. So I don't like people who zombie through life.
Mm.
You know, so when you just clock in your 9 to 5 and go home and watch a show and you don't know what you're watching, you don't know what you're saying, you don't know who really you engaged with today, you know, you're just kind of zombieing through life. I don't respect that. I don't tolerate it. And I refuse to take parts of it or in it or whatever the right way to say it is, because you need to live your life with purpose and intention. So I'm very purposeful with what I say, with what I watch, with what I do, with who I surround myself with, because before you know it, things have affected you, have eaten at your soul, and you don't even know where to begin.
How do you determine what your purpose is, though?
So this is very interesting that you asked me this. I had a very conscious awareness of my existence at a very young age. At a very young age, because I skipped a grade, I was fluent in multiple languages. I knew that I was smart and made for different things. And a lot of people will tell you I knew I was made for more, but I was very aware of my existence at a very younger age. I think mm-hmm. it's one of my first core memories is me recognizing I'm alive. And ever since I was a kid, I searched for my purpose. Being told you're going to do great things, that's fine and dandy. Every parent tells their child they're meant for great things. But I knew, and I spent most of my life looking for it and praying for it. And I've said this in a video before, but when you move in desperation, you breed the worst results, and I've bred the worst results. And it is only when Palestine happened, October 7th, that I recognized my purpose, because I went into the Meta office and I gave them a piece of my mind. But God bless their souls.
I saw that video.
Yeah,
that was,
but bless their souls. The people on the panel, they're Arab, they're really good people. But and then that video went viral, and because of what happened with Palestine, I was like, the least I can do is put something good out there in the world.
Yeah.
And it is 1,000% my purpose.
Not actually that. No, جبتي سيرة فلسطين. I think, like, one of the experiences, like you said, like in terms of finding my purpose and stuff. هلا أنا فلسطينية. I'm so fully Palestinian. I go to Palestine every year. We go to Hebron, الخليل, and there are certain situations that happen that you need to have the self control of a saint.
Yeah.
Because, like, just in August, we were meant to go to Jerusalem. Me and my family were not allowed in Jerusalem because we have الهوية الخضراء, the green ID from the West Bank. And we had to apply to something called a مغنطة and تصريح and all that. Like the IOF, they have to approve everything about you. So we went and we got everything set, and you only have specific time to go till 7 p.m. and then you need to get out of Jerusalem. So my brother and I went. My dad, he's over 60, so he doesn't need it. My sister-in-law, she's American, and she has a British and American passport. She's fully Jordanian, but she went through the Ma'bar, which is like the checkpoint between Jerusalem and I forgot the name of the city. But the soldier who was 16 was like, why are you coming from the Palestinian side? And she was like, why are you associating with these monsters? Get out. No, and the kids started screaming and yelling. So I went to be like, to أهدي الصغار, he put his rifle in my face. And he was like, if you don't move out of my face, I will shoot you in the head right now. And I'm like, oh my God, this is actually happening. And I was like, I'm going to be a headline at Love in Dubai. You know? I was so stressed.
Yeah.
But seeing how my dad was like, do not let them see that you're scared, because to them, they won if they do this. So I was like, Hadilab, I'm just here, we'll leave. And the crying that I had that day, because we waited 25 years to enter Jerusalem.
And you couldn't?
And we couldn't. 25 years.
I will end this just by saying one thing, because our time's up.
Yeah.
And I'm actually going to reference the Bible. And I saw this in I don't remember who was saying this, because just what you said now about your father saying, don't let them see your fear. You know how in Christianity, and there's been a discussion about this, about, I don't know who says it exactly, I want to say Jesus Christ, of when you're slapped, give the other cheek. And usually we were taught that this is a sign of kindness and forgiveness. And then one person challenged this and they said, actually, if you think about it, it's kind of a challenge. Because
like, okay,
if you slap me and I'm like, yeah, I'll do it again.
Exactly.
So, and it will, that calmness of not giving in to someone's intimidation tactics, That's the number one way to win.
Exactly. And just to go back about the bullying, ever since that situation happened with the rifle to my face, I was like, if I can handle
that,
an IOF soldier with his rifle in my face, I can see another person from high school and be like, you know what, babe, here's the other cheek. Do it.
Hell yeah.
Oh my God, give myself goosebumps.
This was great. Yeah. This is amazing. Yeah, thanks, babe. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you.